welcome you to Doxodeo Hatfield, a multi-ethnic family on mission, passionate about Jesus, passionate about community, and passionate about serving the city of Tshwane.
Friends, it's been a massive privilege this morning to sing carols and to share this morning. I was so aware of the fact that for most of us, the lucky ones, we actually have a family we go back to after this service, that we're prepping meals and people saying like they already got something in the oven while we're at church and they're going back and getting it out of the oven. So church really cannot go longer this morning. But I think something just to note of this morning, and if you're new here this morning, if you're just visiting family while we're here today, you are so, so welcome. But we have more than just a physical family that we as Doxodeo Hatfield can return to, and I'm encouraged by that. We have a spiritual family. We have this to go back to. And I pray that if you're a regular, you're like partner, you're like basically part of the furniture, or if you're super new, I pray that you would really experience that this morning, that you have this spiritual family that you can return to and that you can join on a day like this. So, friends, I have three things that I'm trusting for this morning, and I want to invite you to trust with me for. Is number one, I pray that this morning's service, yes, it's all about Jesus Christ, but that would strengthen your walk in Him. That it's not just a reminder of His birth and resurrection and life, but that it would strengthen your everyday walk with Him. Second thing is we have tables we're returning to later on. There's people that's going to sit across from us or next to us, or that's going to sit across or next to you at work early next year. And I pray that whatever we delve into and discover this morning, that would strengthen your witness to those people. And last thing is, friends, that we could rediscover the greatest gift we've ever received. And that is Jesus Christ. And we're going to do that on a journey. And I pray that we'll come together. So, let's jump in with a question, and it might seem trivial, but it's actually a pretty cool question to ask this morning, is why Christmas? Like, why are we doing Christmas? And we just spoke about the birth of Jesus, but the whole 25th of December thing, like, why are we doing Christmas now? Because I can't see anywhere in Scripture that Jesus speaks about Christmas and that we should observe Christmas. In fact, if we go back to the Matthew 1-2 and the Luke 1-2, we don't read anything about the feast or the holiday of Christmas anywhere in the Bible. Christ never explicitly implied even that you should do Christmas every year on the 25th of December. If He has done that in some scripture, I'd love to see that scripture, but we don't see that. And growing up, this was a shocker for me. I was like, this is nowhere in the Bible? Like, how? This is such a big deal for us as Christians and for us in the church. In fact, and not to poke too heavily on this, but the fact that we're celebrating on the 25th of December is actually a big controversy and debate among Christians. It's a massive thing on the one side where people are leaning to, no, it's just a fun time together and it's, you know, it's just for family. And on the other side, it's like people are saying it's pure paganism. Like, just this thing is the worst thing. Like, it's close to the devil. Like, it's the, and somewhere in the middle, we find ourselves, we're still asking the question, why are we doing this thing? So, this morning, we can lose sight and we're not going to spend, we're not going to spend time on proving what side is right. That's not what we're here for. We even lose sight of the truth trying to do that. We're not trying to pick a side of who's most right and who's least right. I think we have a lot of value to come back to the moment we ask what the word Christmas means. And if we look at Christmas, I think the early Christians did something right when it's Christ's Mass. It's the coming together and the remembering of Christ that we as Christians do together. And in fact, speaking about remembering him, Jesus actually spoke a lot about that. In fact, if you read John 13 through, he has that last hurrah moment with his disciples where he says, guys, remember me. Eat this bread and drink this wine and remember me and I will be with you. Like, he had that whole moment with him even after he was resurrected. So remembering him is something he spoke about a lot, but this is where the tension comes in, friends. That is not the Christmas we see out there. That is not what Christmas has become in our culture. True? And what do we do with that as Christians? What do we do with that tension? Because the celebration of this Christ Mass, and it's even the name still, this Christ Mass, mostly obscures Christ in today's culture, focusing on commercial symbols and traditions and trees and Santa Claus and consumerism. It focuses on anything but Christ. May I make a bold statement this morning? Is I think Christmas has become more about us and less about Christ. It has become more about us and less about Christ. And that's where our conversation can end today. That's where we can walk out of this room today. And if we say, like, culture is bad, Christ is good, let's just, you know, as Christians, do our own thing. Let's gather in the church every Christmas and, you know, remind ourselves that Christ, the culture is bad. And, like, we can do that and we'd all be kind of happy. But, and this is a massive one, Christianity, friends, this, if you're not part of, like, welcome, like, we want to represent Christianity well, but if you're saying, I'm a believer, I'm a follower, I'm a disciple, then Christianity, you have always had a way of infiltrating culture and changing it from the inside out. That is who we are. That is who you are. So, why do we as Christians then do Christmas? Why do we believe remembering on a day the coming of Christ, the greatest gift we've ever received? Why do we do this? And why do we celebrate it still in a secular consumerism culture? Well, the answer is simple. That world out there, that colleague, that family member, that person you're going back to today that you know, like, this testimony is burning him out and I need to share it, that workplace you're going back to, that university, that hostel, wherever you're going back to, they need Christ more than ever. More than ever. The need for Christ in our culture has never been this deep and this needed. So, we have two choices. This is where we've come to this morning, is we have two choices. We can withdraw. We can end this conversation today. We can say, listen, as Christians, we need to step back and we need to protect this Christmas thing, this Christ thing from our world. Or, and this is what I would gently want to invite you into, is we can engage. We can step into a place of bringing Christ on our sleeves to those around us who we love most, but Christ loves more. That is the invitation this morning, friends. And in the spirit of reclaiming this, let's actually just go back to the actual birth of Jesus Christ. And friends, I know we know this scripture all too well, but it sets us up into asking, who is this Christ and why is he the greatest gift we've ever received? We go to Luke 2. We read about the famous scripture, and it's where the angel appeared to the shepherd, and he says, and this is the big one, we're not going to stand still. You can read this with family later on. He says, today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths, lying in a manger. This was, friends, as clearly as the Bible could say it, our baby, Jesus. Christ who has come as Jesus and said, he is the greatest gift this world has ever received. So my question, friends, is who is this Jesus? Yes, we can celebrate his birth. We can celebrate his coming. And we can keep this kind of fairy tale story of Jesus wrapped in a manger and the little sheep. You know, that nativity scene. We always get that primary school play that you get like the classic nativity scene. We can stick with Jesus and know him as that. But can I invite you this morning that there is more to our Christ that we can discover? Who is this Jesus who shepherds and wise men flock to? I mean, throughout the Bible, you can read from Isaiah, Matthew, Luke, John, prophesying like this Jesus is coming. And my question is, why should we care? And what does it have to do with us? Who is this Jesus? My prayer this morning is that this message will root deeply and change someone in your world's life. We jump into the very life of Jesus. We're fast forwarding 30 odd years into a story where an encounter with Jesus, where his ministry has started. He has jumped into this. God has called him and said, listen, you're there as the gift to the Savior to this world. And he's been a carpenter for most of his life. And he's called to say, listen, I'm a gift to this world and I'm going to step in. And we see an encounter between him and a Nicodemus, which reminds me of a quote from John Piper that says, meditate on the fact that we need a Savior. Christmas is an indictment before it becomes a delight. And this is what Nicodemus discovered. Now, Nicodemus, for us to just return back to that point, was that Pharisee. He was the guy that he knew the law inside and out. He knew of this Messiah that would come. And late one night, not in the synagogue, not publicly, he went to go and find Jesus. And he said, I need to speak to this man. And he engages him late one night, and we jump into the story where we see now there was a Pharisee, a man named Nicodemus, who was the member of the Jewish ruling council, and he came to Jesus at night. And we turn up the volume in verse 14, where Jesus not just speaking to him about, you know, being born again, normal things, like you must be born again and you must surrender your life. And we see what Jesus says to him. And this is, friends, where we see the gift of Christ in our world today. Just as Moses, verse 14, lifted up the snake in the wilderness, the Son of Man must be lifted up. Verse 15, that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life in him. We know this scripture, but this draws us back, friends, to a plaque where Jesus is not telling this to Moses to Nicodemus about Moses and saying he's just using it as a reference. He knew the reference of Moses would connect well with him. And verse 16 is this scripture we know all too well. He says, for God so loved the world. We know this. That he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Friends, this is a massive moment. This is a statement Jesus makes of the world. The world, he's saying, I have come. My purpose is to be lifted up, that everyone who looks on me will be saved. This eternal life word is interesting. And we'll see it right through the rest of the sermon. It says, it refers to the divine life of God granted to believers. This is the key thing, which is not limited by time. It's a Zoe life. It is not limited to the here and now. It's not just heaven. Eternal life is not just a one day. It's a quality and lasting life in the here and now. The true statement for this morning, friends, And I want you to picture the world out there, the 8 billion, the co-workers, the people in your world. I want you to recognize this, that Jesus did not come to convince, recruit, or condemn us. Jesus came simply to bring a lasting and quality of life that stretches into eternity. And if you're like me, I'd stop then and ask, okay, but it's great to know that about the 8 billion, but what does it have to do with me? What does this have to do with me? We go one chapter on where Jesus encounters not a Nicodemus, not a Pharisee, not a religious man. He simply encounters a woman. And this woman was at a well, doing her day-to-day job. She was doing her thing. And Jesus finds her and says, now he had to go through this part of the country. He finds her and says, will you give me a drink? Verse 7, John 4, verse 7. His disciples had gone into the town. The Samaritan woman said to him, you are a Jew and I'm a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? Verse 10, I want you to see this highlighted in your Bible because it's the transition between Jesus as Christ to Jesus as gift to the world versus as a gift to you. Verse 10, Jesus answered her, if you knew the gift of God, there it is, and who it is that is asking you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. Sir, this woman said, verse 11, you have nothing to draw with. She's still at the well. She's still asking, like, do you want water or not? Like, what are you saying today? Like, what's this going on about? And he's saying, she's asking, where can I get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob? Like, he is absolutely wrecked the world. And verse 13, Jesus answered, everyone who drinks of this water, the water he gives, the gift he gives, the life he gives, will never be thirsty again. Friends, in that sentence, in that scripture, I want you to insert anything else in our lives that we drink of that will make us thirsty again. Career, friends, jobs, credit score, where we live, where we don't live. Have we been on vacation or not? A loss in the family, anything in there, anything, we will be thirsty again. But verse 14, and this is where Jesus's gift becomes personal to you. He says, whoever drinks of the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water Jesus Christ gives you becomes a spring of water welling up into, and here's the key word again, friends, welling up into eternal life. What does this mean? Friends, Jesus this morning is not just a gift to this world. He's a gift to you. He is a reality of sonship, of transformation, of belonging. What does that mean? It means your answers don't end with you. Your prayers don't stop with you. Your pain does not define you. Your hope isn't in that promotion. Your joy is not in what you can feel or what you earn. Your future is not held by your employer, your partner, or this government. Jesus is a tangible gift. So my question to you is, are you his? Are you his? Have you taken a hold of this gift? Now, what does this mean for that family member who's sitting across from you later today? What does it mean for that friend you know needs to hear that they are saved and loved and have been given eternal life? What does this mean for your world? Well, we can go back to this woman's story and see, yes, Christ is a gift to this world. He's a gift to you personally, but he is a gift to the people in your world. And that is key. We go back to John 4, verse 39, where we see this. Many of the Samaritans from that town that this woman came from to draw water, she went back. And many of that town believed in him because of this woman's, see the word, testimony. He told me everything I ever did. So when the Samaritans came to not her, came to him, came to Jesus, when they came back to Jesus, they urged him to stay with them, and he stayed for two more days. They said in verse 42 to the woman, "We no longer believe just because of what you said. Now we have heard of us for ourselves, and we know that this man really is the Savior of the world." How powerful of an encounter it is when Jesus meets you personally and he changes you in one encounter. It's not that you have to just show up to church. Jesus, when you open that gift for the first time, changes you. And we see it doesn't just change you. It changes your world. It changes that family meal you're going to have later on. It changes that colleague you'll engage at work. It changes that one friend that you know needs to be invited to that dinner to hear about this gift. Jesus changing you changes your world. So, is there any greater need, in any greater news your world would need, friends? Is there any greater news that you can share around that dinner table, around that working table? So, in conclusion, have you seen him, friends? Have you touched his seam? Have you opened this gift of Jesus, that baby who was born 2,000 odd years ago? Have you opened this gift? Have you tasted him? And if you have, the invitation is simple, that nobody in this world shall perish. When Jesus changes you, he's gonna change your world. So how do we do this? How do you start this conversation with a family member, a friend, a co-worker, that one person that stubbornly refuses to just accept this message of Jesus? Friends, it's simple. That testimony of how God came through in your life, of his faithfulness, share that. Of that new opportunity that just came across, and you know this could only be God, share it. That forgiveness and healing that God has brought about softly and surely over the last couple of months, share it. That burden the Holy Spirit has lightened, share it. That story of the one friend from church that has been an absolute gift, a healing balm, your witness, friends, share it. So, for this morning, if you have a burning desire to respond to this by saying, "God, I doubt it, but I'm in. I haven't opened this gift yet. I've been keeping Christ at arm's length. I've been given this gift, but I've never opened it for myself." If you're there this morning, if you are saying, "I need him as my Savior," this is your invitation. He's there to be received and opened by you. And on the other hand, if you're here this morning and you're tired of playing it safe, you're tired of living waist deep with Christ, the greatest gift this world has ever received, if you're tired of living and staying in the reeds, the invitation is simple, Dr. Leo Hatfield. Will you take this gift that you've been given, this baby Jesus Christ whose life has absolutely changed yours? Will you take this gift and share it? Will you respond? Will you share the greatest thing you've ever received? So, in a moment of prophetically and symbolically responding to this, you have gotten a candle in the past few moments. And as I'm finished up with prayer, we're going to one by one light those candles. And that can mean two things for you. On the one hand, it can be for you to say, "God, I'm in. God, I'm giving my life to you. God, this is it. This is that threshold moment of, God, I was here. I didn't open that gift, but I'm in, God. I'm saying yes. I'm not just doing this Christmas thing. God, I'm in. I'm all in. That is one moment for you to light that candle. And we're not going to ask you to raise your hand. Like, that is between you and God. That is a step you can take freely this morning. And on the other hand, if you're saying, God, I'm tired of playing it safe, I'm going to light this candle. I'm going to share, like I'm sharing it with a friend next to me and lighting their candles. I'm going to do the same around a meal later today. Maybe bow our heads in prayer. God, we honor you and we praise you for every single gift you have given us. For the sacrifice you made to bring your son, your only son, as your greatest sacrifice, you have given us your son. And God, this morning, it's not just a historical event, a fairy tale. It's not a myth, God. It's real. And this morning in 2024, on a rainy Christmas day, we gather to remember this gift. We gather to say, thank you for Jesus Christ. God, I'm praying for every soul in this house that's saying, yes, God, I'm in. I've been playing it safe. I've been living waist deep. I've been keeping this gift and not opening it. We're praying for that soul to step in and say, God, I'm in. And then, for us as Christians, God, as followers of disciples, of as witnesses, God, we say we will respond. We will step in. We will testify of the greatest gift we've ever received. We pray that in your name, and we give you all the glory, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.